Now, are all the traitors present? Let's get started, shall we?
From rags to riches.
I'm so sick of this.
Working like a dog and being treated worse.
Yorkshire to New York.
We're climbers, you and me.
A life dedicated to revenge.
Let's make this an occasion to remember.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
Have you noticed how hard it's becoming for people to think deeply, to focus, question, or even problem solve? This episode is for you if your learning feels shallow, curiosity feels rare, or you sense that something important is missing. Today, we're talking about why we don't have a learning crisis, we have a thinking crisis, and what it will take to fix it. So Katie Trowbridge is here. She's an award-winning educator, best-selling author, and TEDx speaker with over 20 years of experience helping teachers and leaders create learning environments that spark curiosity, creativity, and deeper thinking. And by the end of this episode, you're going to understand why thinking skills are quietly eroding, why more information does not lead to a better understanding, how curiosity and creativity unlock deeper thinking, and what actually helps people learn without forcing or overwhelming them. Katie, it's so great to have you here. I'm so curious, in the work that you do, before we talk about the thinking crisis and anything else, can you share what you started noticing in classrooms or organizations that made you realize that maybe something deeper was happening or was breaking down? It's really good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. So thankful to be here. You know, it started, I'm a 25-year teacher, retired at this point, now CEO of a nonprofit. And I started noticing it back in my classroom, probably around 2011, 2012, somewhere, where students were not thinking for themselves. So they weren't asking questions. They weren't being curious. I got more of the responses of, is this right? And I saw that just expand and expand and expand until about 3 years ago when I retired. It was just an epidemic. There was very little thinking and a whole bunch of valuing correctness over thoughtfulness. So, they wanted to follow directions. They wanted to know exactly what they needed to do to follow directions, but they couldn't think outside those directions. And if the directions weren't clear and step one, step two, step three, they had a hard time seeing that. And then when I went into leadership, I saw the exact same thing. So those leaders were also looking to their boss, their, you know, the employees or what, the chain up to, you tell me what to do and I'll do it.
No critical thinking.
Yeah, it's the problem solving. The creative, critical thinking that we need, that is essential. All the research shows this is what we need for future generations, but yet we're just not doing it. We haven't taught them how. Part of it, I think, is the testing that we do, you know, that standardized testing in schools. And then we go into organizations and it's metrics. You know, we've got to measure everything. But in between, there has got to be the ability to think differently.
Uh-huh. So what exactly, when you say that we're facing a thinking crisis, what does that look like in real life?
Well, and it's interesting because I think that it's hard to notice. It's not something like, a medical crisis where you all of a sudden see it and you have all these results. A thinking crisis has started to slowly seep into every aspect of life, from schooling to our personal lives, to our social media algorithms, to our workforce. And what I mean by that is we stop asking questions. And not, and when I say questions, sometimes people get so defensive. Don't ask me questions. But it's the good questions. It's the curiosity, the tell me more kinds of questions. So we slowly start seeing no one is asking questions. Then we start seeing what we are seeing now is that disconnection. People aren't connecting because they're not curious about each other. And then you slowly start seeing how the innovation starts to seep away. So the people aren't sharing new ideas. They're just staying silent. Meetings are more status updates than exploration for new ideas and problem solving. So it's not like this big loud bang. It is, we're in a crisis because we're not thinking. So we're all either going in one direction because that's the direction we're fed via our social media algorithms or people around us, and we stop questioning. And so it just starts to feel empty and shallow. Our lives do, our thinking does. Look at some a little bit of the political polarization that we have right now. So it's there's no curiosity about, well, what, tell me why you think that way. I want to understand your viewpoint. It's you're wrong. And so I'm not going to friend you anymore. I'm not going to be your friend. I'm defriending you. I'm not following you. I'm not. And so that's a crisis, because then we're not expanding our perspectives and the way that we think about things.
Yeah, and I think it's really polarizing for the people who are curious and who are wanting more deeper connection, because no one's allowing them to go there. And so if you are a deep thinker and you are curious, it's like people are sh continuously shutting you down, and then it's causing you to internalize that, and then you feel unseen or not heard, right? And I think that the problem with keeping like quiet about this is that that's eventually going to happen for everybody, right? Everyone's just, I just picture like this, everyone kind of shrinking and becoming super small, right? When we're also vibrant, we're also full of so many amazing ideas.
Yeah, it's like picturing that bubble boy kind of thing. You know, we're all in a bubble. We stay in that bubble and we don't come out of that bubble. And, you know, the research, we just did a national study. And the study, one of the things that was really staggering to me is that 67% of working Americans today are afraid to share new ideas. So it's kind of like what you're saying. We're so afraid to share our ideas because it said they're afraid of making mistakes. They're afraid of being unfairly judged, right? So it's much easier just to stay silent. And because I'm afraid. So they just kind of protect themselves and they stay silent. And that gets us nowhere. That gets us
Yeah, I was just
nowhere.
gonna say, what's the price of that?
Oh, yeah. And the thing that we saw too in the study is that people are quitting. 54%, I think, 54% of executives are leaving their jobs because they feel like they're not valued with their in their thinking. That if they want to share ideas, like you said, they're just shut down. Or they said a lot of times their leaders will come to them and say, "Hey, I would love to hear what you're thinking." When you know that they really don't care, you can see it's not genuine and authentic because they've already made up their mind. But they feel like, oh, I should ask my staff what they think. And so they do. So there's not that genuine, authentic, actual caring about people's ideas. So people are just afraid. They're afraid. They stay silent. They shut down. And then, you know, we have that whole epidemic that we're calling quiet quitting, where people are like, I'm just going to do what I need to do and nothing more. And so we're not
Yeah,
thinking.
that's
And
dangerous.
thinking and curiosity can be so much fun. Mentally, it can bring us joy. It can help us connect with people. And so even with our mental health, that suffers as well. So we have turnover that's suffering. We have innovation that's suffering. We have mental health and anxiety that's suffering, all because we're not thinking for ourselves.
So why, this is regarding information, because there's so much information out there, like so much. Why doesn't more information automatically lead to better thinking or learning?
Well, especially if you want to look at the world of AI,
Oh
right?
my God.
I
Yeah.
mean, the amount of
Overwhelmed.
information that we can get and think that AI is doing the thinking for us, you know, and that's part of the fear. But what we forget is that AI makes mistakes. It's not always correct. And if we aren't critical thinkers and look at that information and think, huh, maybe that's a good idea, but I wonder if I should validate that. Or what's the other side of this argument? You know, those are the kinds of things we've got to do because we do get so much information. I remember when I was teaching, one of my students said they found on the internet a website that said the Holocaust was fake. It never happened. It never existed. And the kid was like, that's on a website. I'm like, yeah. So you have to use your thinking skills and think, okay, is the could this person be right? You know, or other theories that are out there. There's so many theories. The world is flat, not really round, like lots and lots of theories. So if you're not a critical thinker, then you're not going to accept, or you are going to accept what
Surface
someone says
level, yeah.
instead of really going into the information and seeing, okay, so what's the other side to this? Are there other perspectives? Are there other things I'm not considering? So that's why that thinking aspect, especially creative and critical thinking, I think creative thinking is so important because it helps us look at all different ideas. But the critical thinking is, okay, which idea actually will work and soundly work and make sense? And so that's why you've got to have both of them.
And it can be so dangerous, like especially with all the influencers out there. And when it's tied to money and sales, it's even more dangerous because you hear these people that are in these high level positions talking about, this miracle formula that's going to change your life in 20 days, and people are buying into that. And it's actually like, it can actually really harm people, especially when it comes to our health and our well-being with like supplementation and all this information we're being fed about these quick fixes. I think it's so important to note, like, even if you don't, if you can't critical think that clearly, or if you're seeing something that's too good to be true, it usually is, because anything good in life takes time,
Well,
right?
and it's so easy, right? I mean, I've done it. I'm laying in bed, I can't sleep, so I start scrolling. Somebody's on there, and like, I took this supplement for 10 days, and I lost, and I'm like, oh, or I got this product, and it's oh, this looks amazing. And then I go over to Google, and I put in reviews, and is this true? And I'm like, oh, no. But if you
Well,
don't take that step to
I've got a
say,
cupboard full of like supplements, so you're doing better than me.
But I mean, you've got to, and that's the critical thinking, right? You've got to be like, oh, this sounds really great, but let me check it out and see other people's responses, other people's perspectives to make sure it actually is as good as it sounds. And that's where, like you said, there's so much information. I mean, we are inundated every second of our day. I mean, even if you're researching something, you have those ads that pop up on the side that are targeted to you. I mean, it's like they hear you. Like I talk about how I'm going to Disney next week, and now all of a sudden I'm gonna have Disney ads coming up.
It's creepy. It's
I know.
creepy. I
I
saw this
know.
meme of like, I think it was like the Olsen twins with like guns. When I open my phone and I see something that I was literally just thinking of in my mind, and there's like the Olsen twins with guns as a meme. But that's how it feels, right? Like
Yeah, so that's why it's
this
so
AI is
important.
taking over. Yeah, it's crazy.
And why it's so, I mean, AI is great. I'm not knocking AI. Believe me, I use it. I think it's got really good potential, but only if we value what makes us human and we think about our thinking. That's what's
Yeah, so
key.
Katie, you emphasize curiosity as being essential to learning. So why is it so powerful, and why is it disappearing?
It's interesting. A lot of the research shows that it's not curiosity is disappearing in a way that it's courage. So when you're younger and if you've ever been around a toddler and they're why, there's so much fascination and you're like, stop asking me questions. There's just fascination, like why is it this way? Why is that working? And as we get older, we still are very curious, but we have lost the courage to ask the questions out of the fear. So research is showing we used to say, oh, curiosity dies. And now it's saying it's actually not dying. It's just we are swallowing it in and not allowing that curiosity to show because of what we talked about earlier, the risk of being silly or somebody judging us or us being wrong. But I think that the curiosity in itself is so important because it's the tell me what if. There's this sense of imagination and this sense of wonder, this sense of I'm looking out. I often use the metaphor of an ocean, and curiosity is when you're standing on the shore and you're looking out at the ocean and you're like, wow, I wonder what's out there. I wonder what kind of plants there are. I wonder, or looking up at space and saying, I wonder. And that sense of curiosity and wonder helps us, it can bring us joy. It can give us a hope for the future. It can give us the sense of, man, I want to continue to thrive and find purpose in my life because I want to know more about whatever. Right? It's that learning, that lifelong learning. And if we stop doing that, we're slowly our I mean, and there's all this research that shows even for your brain, you've got to exercise your brain, right? It's like a muscle. And you've got to exercise it just like you would do pull-ups and push-ups. You have to do brain exercises. And what a great way to do that, but to be curious. I would love to learn how to play the guitar. I'm really curious about that. Teaching myself how to play the guitar is going to help me think better, live better, keep my brain sharper. So that's where I think it's essential. We can't do the same old, why are we doing this? Because I've always done it that way. Right? Which we do all the time. Teachers do it, leaders do it, parents do it because I said so. We all do it. But maybe there's a better option. And if we're curious enough to find out what that option is, that could lead to some pretty cool ideas and new ways of moving and thinking.
Yeah, not only that, but like the same thing doesn't necessarily work all the time. You know, I've had so many instances where I've done something and it worked really well once, and I tried it again, thinking that, oh, this is a no-brainer. I'm just going to do what I did last time. And I got completely different results. And then it forced me to think in a different way, which ended up actually being really beneficial to my growth in that way. Right. And I just, oh, as you were speaking about that, I was just imagining everyone kind of turning into zombies. You know, when you're just, it's like you follow a script, you wake up, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, who wants to live like that? Life is like a big movie, you know. It's like we're all supposed to be out there discovering and being childlike and being curious and connecting, and so much of that has changed. I totally agree, and it's really, really sad. But I'm curious. So if an environment starts to shift because people are supporting each other and are supporting that deep thinking, what is going to change for that environment?
Yeah, the idea of psychological safety is so incredibly important in any environment, at home, at work, in your classroom. Like you need people need to feel they are safe. And safe in the psychological way, not, physical way. But the psychological way, I can say something that might be completely off the wall, and everybody's gonna smile and still accept me and acknowledge me, not judge me, not immediately shut me down. And when we have environments that people can be themselves, which I heard quite a bit in our national study, that people just feel like they can't be themselves. If people can be themselves, be curious, ask the questions, then the connection will rise. In fact, a lot of our participants also said that they do better in their thinking when they're collaborating with others. So if you have people in a room, and I love putting different generations together in a room because that's another whole issue of, different generations. But different generations, we have different experiences, like you mentioned. We think differently, we see things differently. What a great environment to create. Where all these ideas are flowing, and you say something, and then I say something, and then you say something, because then we're building off each other that we can't do alone. So the environment can be very energetic, very fun and open, and ideas can just flow like crazy. But there has to be that psychological safety, that agreement, real genuine agreement. We can have our norms about putting our cell phones away and all those kinds of things, but there has to be a genuine, authentic trust and respect and the people of the in the room,
Yeah,
which
100%.
is not
If
easy to
everyone's not,
accomplish.
yeah, if everyone doesn't feel safe, then you're gonna have the people that just agree or they don't completely speak up. So that environment, the safety in the environment and the trust factor has to be there. And I mean, also people have to learn how to really respect everyone else's opinions too, right? There's a lot of people who get their back up over little things because someone thinks differently than them. But learning how to be curious and to support thinking means to be open, right? So we have to start being more open to with things within reason.
Well, and I will say that the biggest way we can make that change is by modeling the behavior. So it's not by telling people or a memo coming out like everybody needs to be more open.
You're
That's not
gonna
going to
ask,
work.
what does
Or
that
the
even
poster
mean? Yeah.
in the breakout room that says we are open-minded thinkers, it comes from when leaders and people model it. And because then I'm saying to you, and it's when we are authentic as well. I always say this to teachers and leaders that you can't stand in front of your employees or your students and say, it's okay to make a mistake, but not share with them the mistakes you've also made. Right? Because then it gives them the signal of, oh, that person in leadership, they're vulnerable too. They make mistakes, they take risks, right? And so then that environment is, well, if they do it, then it's okay if I do it. So we've got to model it in order to create that kind of safe space.
Yeah, leaders, like integrity is such a big thing.
Yeah, and a lot of our research shows that they just don't, a lot of employees don't feel like there is any modeling of good behavior any longer in leadership, that integrity just isn't there. And so, number one, why would they go into leadership? And number two, of course, they're not going to help that organization do better if the leaders just aren't the kind of people they want to work for.
Yeah, of course. You're just going to do what you need to do to get by. Yeah, and that's a huge problem.
Well, yeah, and then we have the turnover, and I think one of the best things a leader can do is stand up and say, "I am stuck. I'm stuck. I don't know what we should do, what direction to go in, but I would love to hear your feedback." A leader saying something like that, right? That's amazing. Like, you're showing yourself you're vulnerable, you're showing that you don't know what to do, and you're showing that you're open to hearing ideas.
Yeah, 1000%. So for someone out there who wants to spark better thinking, what advice would you give them, or what are some simple tools or some simple places to start?
Number one, ask yourself what you're curious about. What am I curious? What would I love to learn? And again, I don't care if it's, I would always say this to my employees and my students as well. I don't care if you want to learn about Captain America. Go learn. Go be curious about something. If something pops in your mind and you're like, I wonder. And the thing about that information nowadays, it's so easy. That's great, because it used to be in the olden days when I was growing up, I'd have to go to the library and go through the card catalog. But now I can say, I'm curious about this. Google. I'm curious about, right? And so I think the first thing we have to do is really reflect on what am I curious about? What would I love to learn? And that will get that brain exercising. I think another thing we have to do is start asking ourselves, why do we know what we know? Why do we think the way we think? So that it gives us, again, just that checkpoint of, before I go buy that supplement, why do I want that supplement? What do I think that supplement will do? And will it work for me? So I mean, like, it's that reflection part, I think, that is so incredibly important. I think another really simple thing people can do is ask for feedback. I think that's really hard for us sometimes to hear that feedback, but asking feedback about, what do you think I should be working on? Or what's one thing you think I could do to improve blank? Right? And genuinely listening to people. So I think that being a thinker and being curious and doing those things will change this whole thinking crisis we have going on. I also would say one of the best things we can do personally is start genuinely connecting with people and asking questions. The how are you today? I would stop asking those questions and start asking questions like, what's something exciting going on in your life right now? What are you celebrating right now? Instead of just, how are you? Because if you say, how are you? You're going to get fine, great. But asking questions and then following up. Oh, so you had this amazing experience at TEDx or at in, podcasting or whatever. Tell me more. What was that like for you? Those kinds of authentic, genuine conversations can change so much in our society.
Yeah, it's such a game changer. You can literally see someone's face light up when you ask them a question that you're genuinely curious about.
And then you ask
You
a
know?
follow-up, because that means you were
Yeah.
listening. That's like, oh, wait, she actually listened to what I just said because she just asked me a follow-up question. That
Yeah.
can change so much, and we're lacking that. We've lost that.
We are lacking that. And it's so funny because I had someone who was genuinely curious in something that I was at out in public, and I'm not used to that. And when she asked me a deeper question, I was thinking, holy crap, like she's actually listening and she wants to know more. And but I found myself questioning if I should, like, I was overthinking my responses because I wasn't used to it. So I'm like, should I wrap this up quickly? Like, how interested is she? You know, because I'm not used to someone being genuinely interested, which is so sad.
Yeah, and we and that's that inner, dialogue that we do with ourselves of, oh, they don't really care, they're not really interested. But they're asking, they are. If they weren't, they'd walk away. But if they're there and they're asking, they're probably really genuinely interested. And I think one of the things that we have to remember too in those situations is sometimes people are sharing things and we automatically go to, oh, that happened to me too. Let me tell you my story.
Right, we take it away. We take away their story.
Instead of asking the follow-up questions, not making it about me, it's about the person who is genuinely sharing a story with me, genuinely telling me what happened because I might have asked. But then we just change the topic to ourselves. And that will eliminate, again, make going back to what we were saying, the fear of speaking, right? I'm just gonna stay quiet. I'm not gonna say anything.
Yeah, that's a really, really quick way to shutting everything down, which I was just going to actually ask you about. What is a few mistakes that people make when trying to fix this learning that actually shuts thinking down?
Well, and I will say, even asking the question why for some reason people get very defensive. And so reframing that question of why to tell me more, or that's super interesting. I'd love to hear more about what you're thinking. But for some reason, just saying why, people are like, well, you don't think I'm right? What, you know what I mean? So that's a simple thing that sometimes we do, and maybe we don't mean to, but on the other end, people just shut down. I think another thing is, especially in any kind of meeting or idea sharing, it's let me tell you what I think, right? And then you start the meeting that way. Well, then everybody's like, okay, well, that's what they think, so I'm not gonna. Instead of saying, first of all, don't tell people what you think. I used to start my classroom and my meetings with, what do you think? Tell me what you think. That's how I would start my meetings. What's going on? Tell me what you think. Because as soon as they hear what you think, then, and especially if they think something different than you, they're not going to share it. So stop telling people what you think first off and start listening to what others think. So I think that those things, saying things like, tell me more, I want to understand, being really open. If we don't do that, people will shut down and they're not going to share any ideas with you at all.
100%. Yeah. So you've created the CREATE method to support deeper thinking. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I will. Yeah, this has been years in the making, the CREATE method. And the CREATE method really is not a step-by-step kind of method where you have to do the C first and then the R, but it really is a way of framing and asking ourselves reflection questions as we are learning how to think deeply and how to work with other people to mentor them to think deeply. So the C really is about the curiosity, the content. What is it that I want to learn? What is the issue? What is the problem? What are we really facing? But the R is super important because it's about risk-taking and failure and reframing that. Are we taking risks? How is failure being interpreted in our classroom and our community and our, is it something that I have failed and so now I am being unfairly judged or showing up on my employee review? Or are risks encouraged? Like, let's try it. Let's see what happens. The E is something that we talked about earlier, which is experience. So that experience navigator, making sure that we are creating experiences in our lives and in our workforces and in our classrooms where we're actually getting out there and serving other people. We're actually getting to know our audience. We're actually getting to know our client. We're actually having an experience instead of living in that bubble, like we were talking about. The A and the T are all about us as people. What's our attitude? And then how are we being team transformers? How are we looking at what we're doing and having a good attitude, saying that I'm just not there yet. I'm gonna get there. I can do this. This is hard, but I can do it. And then, like we talked about earlier, that collaboration. How do we work together as a team? Right? So it's more like a sports team where we all have different strengths and weaknesses. One person's the pitcher, one person is the catcher, one's on first base. We all can't be on first base. Right. So how do we work with a team? And then E, the last E really is that evaluation part of it, the feedback you and I talked about. Are you looking for feedback? Are you pausing and reflecting like we talked about? Are you taking time to say, okay, we just did this whole cycle. We have a problem. We took some risks. We all worked together. Did it work? Did it not work? If it didn't work, what do we need to do better next time when we go back to the C? Right. So it's just taking, and we don't do that enough. We don't take time to reflect and pause. And our research shows over and over again that people are tired of the leaders who rush in and make changes. They want people who will reflect and listen. And so that's what that last one. So, like I said, it's not just like you have to do one and then the other. It's as a whole, this will help us start thinking, and it can be applied anywhere, at home, at school, at work. It's just, am I doing these things? Is this project helping me be a deeper thinker? Because I really believe that we think deeply, we're going to live more fully.
So, Katie, you just finished a TED Talk on this topic, and I'm just so curious on what your inspiration and motivation for creating the CREATE method was, and what do you see it doing for the world? How do you
Yeah.
see it inspiring the world?
Yeah, doing the TEDx was amazing. And it was quite a challenge to get the message in a 10-minute slot. But it was also a lot of not pressure is probably not the right word, but thinking like this message could get out to the world, right? When you do a TEDx like this, what is it that I want people to really take away? And I think that that's where this whole idea of living fully and the CREATE method coming into being, because it is this general kind of idea that if we do it, we can connect more with people. We can be more mentors of thought, right? And that's what I'm really hoping, that people will stop managing tasks but start mentoring thought and really start leading with impact and making more of an impact with people. That to me, it can you imagine a world where this polarization was not there? I mean, it's never going to go away, but it was more of we're leaning in and listening to each other instead of stepping back, folding our arms and saying, I don't want to listen to you anymore. So, that seeing that happen in our world and seeing how we are shutting each other out and we are shutting down ourselves, right? We're silencing our thinking and we're silencing the thinking of others. And because of that, we're not being the innovators we used to be or that we need to be. And so I think that's where the CREATE method really came together. And this message that I just so am passionate about helping people think about how we've got to come together, celebrate who we are, even in our differences, question things so that we can make changes and be stronger as a society and stronger as humans. Like we need to be more human.
Absolutely. So what kind of people are you working with? Who are you? Who are your clients?
All kinds. So teachers and school leaders, I've been doing that. And then now I'm starting to get to work more with CEOs, middle managers. There's a lot of what I'm hearing from people all the time is that there's a lot of people who are put into leadership because they have the skills needed. So they might be able to do and create the product needed to now oversee other people. But the problem is they don't know how to manage people. They don't know how to work with people. And so, because of that, we have a big gap in leadership. So, I'm hearing a lot of, can you teach us how to work with people, but how to teach people, right? So, as educator in the classroom, I taught high school for years, but there's not a lot of difference of teaching adults the exact same thing. We're trying to teach students how to be kind, compassionate thinkers. That same thing applies. So I'm really starting to work more and more with managers and HR directors and people who are like, I need help getting my staff to be engaged people who are motivated to work. And so then that's when I come in.
Amazing, amazing. Well, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. It was so much fun talking to
My pleasure.
you. And to our audience, if you're listening and feel concerned about learning in schools, workplaces, or even in yourself, this episode is your reminder that the ability to think deeply has not disappeared. It just needs space, curiosity, and the right support. We will make sure to have Katie's information in the show notes for you to learn more about the work that she does. And if this episode made you think differently, share it with someone who cares about the future of learning. Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye.